Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the KERM Lawn and Garden Program, the Winter Edition. With me today is Tom McCurry and Amy Smith. And before we get started, we're going to take a little bit of time to hear from our sponsors.
This is Wade Brew, Market President with Pinnacle Bank. Pinnacle Bank has been serving the lending needs of farmers, ranchers, and commercial business owners in the Wyobraska area, where we've called home for over 100 years. Let us put our resources to work for you with local decision-making from a family-owned bank. Give us a call or visit us at www.wypinnbank.com. Pinnacle Bank, Torrington & Mitchell, the way banking should be. Member FDIC.
Are you planning a kitchen remodel but don't know where to start?
Hi, this is Dan Shields from Century Lumber. Start with semi-custom diamond cabinets and Century Lumber. Diamond cabinets offer the latest door styles and finishes at an affordable price. I can walk you through all the features and benefits and provide a free estimate and expert design. Stop in and turn that vision of your dream kitchen into a reality with the help of Century Lumber Center in Torrington.
Ready to make your house the envy of the neighborhood? Then your first stop should be Great Gardens in Torrington, the region's largest and most gorgeous independent garden center. Stocked full of annuals, hanging baskets, veggies, perennials, trees, and shrubs, they have all of your gardening needs covered. They even have a large selection of decor to bring that wow factor to your yard and garden. Open year-round and ready for you now. Stop into Great Gardens, 1 mile west of Main Street in Torrington.
Concrete is hard. That's why you should hire J-Built Homes for your next concrete project. Jeff and the crew have experience in all different kinds of concrete designs with professional results. Take one look at J-Built Homes' website, jbuiltwyo.com, and the finished jobs speak for themselves. From driveways to patios, homes, or commercial projects, there's not a job too big or too small. Call Jeff today for a free estimate at 307-631-4449.
It's a plus when you know you can count on Landscaping Plus for not only your lawn and garden care around your home or office, but the plus comes in when the snow flies, as they'll take care of all that snow removal from driveways, sidewalks, and parking lots, home or business. Just give Rob a call at 532-6067 and set up all this year's snow removal from now till the last flake flies. That's Landscaping Plus, 532-6067, Torrington.
Welcome back to the KERM Lawn and Garden Winter Edition. So with me again today, as I said, was Tom McCurry and Amy Smith. Good morning to the both of you.
Hi, Jerry.
Good morning, Jerry and Tom John.
So Amy, this is about a year now since you've taken your new job as a Goshen County education...
Agriculture and Natural Resources Educator for the University of Wyoming.
So tell me a little bit of that description. Tell me what you're supposed to be doing.
A little bit of everything, really.
Sure. So if I have a problem, I can call you. And let's say I have a problem with canning.
I'm not the person for canning.
But can I call you and can you do a resource and send me somewhere?
Yes, I certainly can. We have a sensible nutrition program, and we have an educator for that who actually is centered in Lusk, and she comes down once or twice a week, and she's the one that can actually give you tips on canning. And we have some brochures and some written information that I could give you on canning.
So is that part of your job description?
No, not necessarily.
Give me your job description. You're interviewing for a job here. Well, you're not interviewing. You have the job. Tell me what you do.
So I am the agriculture and natural resources educator, and basically I like to think of myself as a generalist. So my education background is agronomy. So soils, plants, insects, crops, that type of thing. I'm really, as we have mentioned before, a bug nerd.
We like bugs.
And I'm okay with that.
We like bugs as well.
You know we do need bugs.
Absolutely we need bugs.
All kinds.
Absolutely. And so I have actually just sent out a landowner survey asking landowners of Goshen County what kind of programming they would need, whether it's livestock, hay production, row crops, soil health, range health, economics, that type of thing, or anything else. And I'm in the process of getting those surveys back so that maybe I can make informed programming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So like in, okay, so in foreign programming, bring in a lecturer?
Yes. And so that is going to be, I can bring in a lecturer, I can make the program myself, I can bring in speakers, I can bring in experts such as Tom John or Jerry. And it can be anything from lawn and garden to crops to livestock. In fact, I just had a gentleman come in yesterday who had something growing on his basement wall. And he did not know what it was.
Is it black mold?
I stuck it under the microscope, and I saw the little hyphae, and I was like, come on back. Let's look at this.
Wait a minute. What are hyphae?
So fungus has a single strand of fungus is called a hyphae. A mass of hyphae, so a mass of strands, is called a mycelium. When we see mold on bread, that is mycelium. That is a mass of single strands. Rarely do you ever see a single strand.
Interesting.
Now,
I like fungus and I like mold.
That's where I've heard that mycelium before is when we talked about trees.
Yeah.
And the fungus growing in and around
the
tree roots.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So what did you tell him to do?
I did not tell him what kind of mold it was because I don't have that expertise.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But what I suggested is at some point there is water seeping through the concrete in his basement, and so he's going to have to remediate that excess water. His plan was he was going to go in Clorox, kills on top of it, and see if it actually came through. And then if it did, then he was going to go through the next step because that's going to be quite expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's going to be under the basement.
Now, Amy, you might want to suggest when I work for the university, you have more resources than through the University of Wyoming. And they were always very cooperative as far as if you needed, you know, just to answer a question or whatever. It's way important that people know that you're the county agent extension person, but there are soils people over there, range management. They don't call it that anymore, but just a lot of good folks that'll help.
A wide variety of topics.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, and we do have experts. They're called extension experts in different fields. And in fact, our pathogens expert just retired.
Really?
Much to my chagrin, because I utilized him a lot. I did the best I could and gave him some suggestions. And if we need to go from there, then I've got some different resources that we can send it out to. I'm not an expert in anything. I'm like a jack of all trades and a master of nothing.
Well, a juggler.
Yeah.
Because you got a lot of balls up in the air and you need to decide which way they need to fly.
That's exactly right.
I think that's great.
I do too.
I think that's great that we have somebody in the county that you don't have to make a long distance phone call or track down yourself. I would start first with the extension and ask for Amy Smith. What's the extension's number?
307-532-2436.
All right. We're going to ask you to say that again later in the show. All right. So
Is that a test?
No. Maybe of my memory, but I personally know that you're interested in iris. And Tom and I have been throwing iris at each other now for some time. We trade iris back and forth, and he goes, "Oh boy, I'd sure like to have some of them." And we dig up but don't try to give him a white iris. He says that he doesn't like them, but I think deep down he does.
I do like them.
It's just,
if you look at the inflorescence, look down, there's red.
You mean down the throat?
Right.
Yeah.
They're red on the inside, little pistil or something. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's,
yeah, they're pretty.
Wonderful. I really don't hate them.
Well, let me bring one more thing up since we're talking. You know, it's here, it's 2024. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Jerry.
Happy New Year. That's twice.
I have a rule that you can only wish somebody a Happy New Year five times,
and then
no
you're
more.
Done.
I'm over it.
So if it's January, and what about February 1? It's done, right? I mean, you can't wish anybody Happy New Year anymore?
No.
Is this actually, Jerry, speaking of February, is this a leap year?
Oh, you know, I don't know.
It is. It is a leap year.
Because February only has 29 days?
It only has 28 days, and this year it has 29 days.
Oh,
so that's cool. What makes the leap?
Yep.
Another day in February?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I would have never
I
noticed.
Didn't know that.
I would. Do I have to set my timer just a little
different? No.
But you know, that's why some people are only 4 years old and they're 30 or something for the leap year. Their birthday is on the 29th of February, and
yep.
It's only really supposed to be 28.
Yep, that's correct.
Huh.
Cool.
Yeah, cool. You know. When you don't pay attention to stuff like that, you don't know.
Yes.
Well, thanks for bringing that up.
Yes. Well, I wasn't sure, so I just happened to look at your calendar right here and said,
yeah.
Hey, you know, that's one extra day this year that we may get to be a little warmer, maybe start spring a little earlier this
year.
You
know, overall, I mean, of course, we've had some snow and we've had a little bit of cold weather, but, you know, overall, we haven't had much winter.
No, not this year.
You know, do you remember the winters that I used to have an 83 style car, 1983, and it was the next year, 84, we had a really, really bad cold winter. I couldn't turn the car off for fear it wouldn't turn back on. And my brother came here from Texas, and they all wanted a coat because they didn't bring a big enough coat, and it was like 10 below with wind chill of way colder.
Yeah.
And I remember that because that 83 was temperamental and it didn't, you know, it didn't have the modern electronics and it just did not want to start in cold weather.
Do you remember when we were at EWC and I had a Corvair and if it got cold, not very cold even, it wouldn't start, so I always parked it on the sidewalk up there and pushed it and popped the clutch.
It would start real easy, huh?
Yeah, and then boom, away I'd go.
I've had friends with Volkswagens like that,
yeah.
You know, and they're real easy to push because they're so light.
Yeah.
I used to have a 52 Chevy pickup that I'd park on a hillside and hopefully the brake would hold and stuff. It held. Yeah. But, yeah, that run and start always helps out.
Oh, yeah.
Always helps out.
Yeah.
Hey, this would be a great time to stop and hear a word from our sponsors.
Need some help mowing your lawn? Then let Levi's Lawn Care help you out this summer. Levi can mow your yard at very affordable prices. He starts at around $20 per week, and that includes mowing and trimming. Levi can also aerate your lawn and offers tree trimming and stump grinding. Let Levi take care of the mowing duties of your lawn this summer. Give him a call at 575-1626. That's 575-1626.
Not sure if you're on the right track? Platte Valley Bank can help keep your finances moving forward. Having a plan to save and spend can help build your financial confidence. Knowing you have the right savings plan can help build your financial success. With free tools like online banking and helpful products like automatic savings plans and budgeting tools, you are in control of your financial future. Start saving today at www.pvbank.com. You belong here.
Platte Valley Bank, member FDIC.
Does it seem like the grass is always greener in your neighbor's yard? Well, that's because your neighbor had Sunrise Sprinkler install an underground sprinkler system. Sunrise Sprinkler in Torrington is the top choice for underground sprinkler systems. Give Chris Miller a call at 575-4300. Sunrise Sprinkler can give you a free estimate on a sprinkler system, and you can find out about the many other services that they offer. Give them a call today at 575-4300. Sunrise Sprinkler in Torrington.
Our producers know that running a successful operation these days requires having reliable service and quality products. That's why you know you can trust the knowledgeable people at Westco to provide you sound agronomic advice, aerial application, bulk fuel, lubricants, propane, tires, and other essentials to keep your operation running smoothly. Our priority is helping you succeed. Call or visit your nearest Westco location today. Westco. Service. Solutions. Success.
Westco's your best value through and through. Lawn getting that old worn-out look, having to water and mow too often? Then it's time to call Torrington Sod Farm. They'll be happy to visit with you and show you why sod is the right answer. Call 532-2777. Torrington Sod Farm has been serving the area since 1999 and pride themselves on their service, quality sod, and exceeding customer expectations. They look forward to serving you, so give them a call for a free quote at 532-2777. Torrington Sod Farm. They make it easy. Easy being green.
Peaceful Prairie Nursery out of Mitchell, Nebraska is going to be at the Farm and Ranch Expo in Mitchell on February 2nd and 3rd. Stop by and pre-order trees. There will be a 20% discount from February 2nd through mid-March. And stay tuned as they'll have container workshops coming up. It's all at Peaceful Prairie Nursery. Follow them on Facebook or contact them at 308-631-7452.
All right, we're back. This is a winter edition of the Lawn and Garden Show. I'm Jerry Erschbeck. With me today is Tom McCreary and Amy Smith. And we've been talking about iris and the winter that really isn't a bad winter yet. But what about how much moisture have we got? How much are we doing fair on moisture content in the soil? We're still pretty dry, huh?
I think we're terribly dry right now, although there is quite a bit of moisture down in the soil profile, but it's not going to take much for that to dissipate. We really, I know nobody wants to hear this, and I might be excommunicated, but we really need some spring moisture, whether that's in the form of rain, which we can all cross our fingers, or in some wet snow, we need some spring moisture.
Which brings up the idea that if it's nice enough, like 45, 50 degrees, we should be watering our trees.
Yeah, we got a little skiff of snow the other day, but it's pretty dry.
Well, and you know, also another really good idea is to drain your hose, because you never know when you want to use that hose for something. And, you know, the worst scale is a little fire that could have been put out if you had a dry hose. Or if your friend pops in and said, hey, I got my camper outside, can you fill me up? You go, sure. Or drain a water heater. You know, I mean, there's all sorts of reasons why you should drain a hose, and so you could be prepared a little bit. It's not because we were in Boy Scouts, right?
Exactly.
You want to be a little more prepared.
The other thing I'd like to mention, Jerry, while we're here, is Amy Styler from Gehring.
Yes.
We were talking about follicles on conifers, which are evergreens.
Follicles?
Yeah.
Tell me what those are.
Those are the needles. I should have said needles instead of follicles. Because I don't know if anybody. And she said they do take up some moisture, but they don't take up a lot. So,
have you lost sleep over this, Tom?
I have. Well, Zane was here 3 weeks ago or something.
Well, and make sure that if you're going to water your trees or shrubs over the winter, that you do not spray the tree. You need to water around the drip line, which is the outside branches. If you drew a line from the outer branches of your tree, it doesn't matter if it's a conifer or deciduous, and you draw that straight down, that is called the drip line of your tree, and that is where you need to water. That is where the nutrients are taken up and the water.
You know, Amy, that's a great idea, because I use a hose with three sprinklers attached, and I surround the tree, and I don't pay any attention about getting the bark wet. I probably shouldn't, huh?
Definitely not in the winter time. It's not great in the summer, but it's better because it's hot and it'll
dry out
and it'll evaporate. However, in the winter, it'll just freeze, and then you get that freeze thaw, and it could damage your tree.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. One year I had a leaky faucet, and so I ran a hose out into the garden and put it on a ladder, and it all froze up. And I had, you know, it was kind of like the mineral springs at Thermopolis, except it was frozen. It was kind of cool.
Whoops.
So it was a time before I could get the faucet fixed because it was frozen. And, you know, frozen faucets in the winter are just miserable. and they
call a plumber.
Call a plumber. Well, yeah, but I mean, even then, I mean, it's still a miserable task to do when it's 20 below and you're dealing with cold water on your hands. It's a bad deal.
Jerry, I'm going to have to move my beds because the apricot trees are shading too much. So oh, I had a dream about it.
Your raised beds? Okay.
And I thought, I've got to move those because I don't get enough sunshine. The carrots didn't do well.
But your raised beds are up against your brick south exposure of your house.
Yeah, but it's shady.
So the other thing is, Are you sure you don't need to trim your apricot tree a little bit?
No, I just can't bear to do it.
Well, then you gotta move those, raised beds, Tom.
Or plant shade loving plants.
Are there shade loving vegetables?
I've got a fire shrub underneath that apricot tree, two of them, and they're just doing
really
awesome.
Nice, huh?
When I first moved in,
is that a red dogwood?
I think so.
Probably,
yeah.
Maybe.
But it's pretty in the fall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But they're both doing very well. It took 4 years, but really nice shrubs.
I don't know if there's shade-loving vegetables, but there are those cool-season vegetables, like the cruciferous vegetables. So cauliflower, broccoli, lettuce, those types of things that may.
Amy, it's so shady, though. And I did prune it, but not. I don't prune much.
But those cold weather plants, they are kind of fun.
Cold
crops. And over at the University of Wyoming, you remember when they had the ornamental cabbage?
Well, they're stink cabbage. I don't care
once
what you say.
But that's once they're frozen, isn't it?
Oh, it was
and
horrible.
And thawing out.
On Prixie's pasture, they had at every corner, I couldn't figure out what had died. You know how cabbage is when it starts to rot. Well, and it took a long time to rot.
Well, the winters in Laramie were such that the weather was not much over 30 most of the time.
Well, most of the time it was mostly at night. There was one January where it was 20 below for a long time. I can't remember. It's been a long time.
Been a few days.
Yeah.
Slept a few nights since then.
Yeah. I mean, well, everybody likes to have the ornamental cabbage or whatever you want to call it. But you're right. People want to also plant the radishes. What are they?
Are those the long ones? The daikon something?
Yes, the daikon radishes, the long, narrow ones.
Yeah.
And it breaks up your any hard pan or soil that you have. But you don't dig those up.
No,
you're
going to
be smelling them also.
You let those rot, don't you?
Yeah, but have you ever smelled them?
No, I really am not a fan of radish.
I'm not either, but I don't want to smell them decompose either.
No.
Yeah. You can get a lot of crop off. I plant the little red ones, round ones.
Oh, yeah.
And I just love radishes.
Do you really?
Yeah. Yeah, they're delicious. And then you can replant. Until it gets hot, and then they bolt.
Yeah, so do you do a planting every 2 weeks?
Yes, I do.
Huh. So with corn, I would plant corn, and I'd put 2 weeks in between, and they all came ripe at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you had a lot of corn.
In the past.
Jerry, I just thought of something.
What's that?
Do you have your garlic in the ground already?
Oh, yes, I do.
I remembered.
We plant that in I used to plant it in late August, and Jeff goes, oh, no, you plant that in October. I go, okay. So I planted mine in about the first week or so in October.
Is it elephant ear?
Oh, no. No, it's a red Russian, I believe it's called, and it has little streaks of red.
Purple.
Or purple.
Yeah.
Is it purple Russian? Then red Russian. But anyway, we really like that one. And gosh, we, not every meal, you know, because who wants to eat garlic for breakfast? But for a lot of our meals, Myrna starts with olive oil, garlic, and onion.
Mm.
Those are the three things we start with.
But I really like the red garlic. It seems... This is
more pungent.
It is.
And a little stronger.
Yeah. But I really like it. Garlic bread, whatever you're fixing, it's relax.
So we've tried garlic bread with just toasting the bread and then cutting the garlic open a little bit and then just rubbing it over. I've also seen where you can take the whole bulb of garlic and cut off a little bit to the top so that all most of them are exposed, roast it, and then squeeze out the roasted garlic and put it into butter. And so then you butter, it's the same consistency of butter then, and then you just smear it on your bread.
That's a lot.
Do you need to borrow my garlic press?
Oh, no, we have garlic presses. We do. We honestly do. But, hey, thanks, though. Did you get more than one or two at Christmas time?
Maybe I will.
Maybe you will next year. Yeah.
If I get one, you get it.
Oh, no. Honest to God, we have, I think, two or three of those garlic presses. Yeah. And they're really good to use. Most of the time, we just chop. I got a great knife for Christmas last year. Mm-hmm. And it's almost one of those, it's like a campfire knife. Mm-hmm. It might as well be called a hatchet because it's, you know, it's big and there's some mass to it. And if you had to, you could hit the tang on the top of it and cut whatever you wanted to cut. Mm. But most of the time, we're just chopping and grating our garlic.
Are you sure you don't want to use my garlic press?
Do you like using a garlic press rather than doing anything else with your garlic?
I do, but the food people say that, you know, on TV, the chefs, to smash it. And I think, why not? And they say it makes it bitter if you squish it.
Bitter?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be darned, I didn't hear that. But I do know that when you put your knife blade flat on the clove and smash, all that does is takes off the outer skin of the garlic. And then you just peel that off and throw that away and then start doing a little chopping.
You have to hit it a little harder.
Yeah, you know,
and then it'll smash it up just a little bit more.
If there's any frustration going on, you know, there you are.
I've got a cool deal. It's a little tube, 4 inches long, 3 or 4.
Okay.
And you stick the garlic in there and roll it, and it takes the outside dry garlic paper off.
Huh. That's where you smack it, and you... and it just peels right off. there's that outer paper of the garlic, and then there's a more of a firmer shell kind of thing.
Right.
It's like taking a walnut and tapping it and breaking it open.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that little old garlic comes right out.
Yeah.
Come to think of it, no, I don't want it. I don't want any of your presses. But thanks for asking.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
What else do you plant in the fall? Do you plant anything else?
You know, I'm good just to be able to do one planting a year, and we call that good. No, I really don't do a fall planting other than my garlic. A couple of years I planted wheat. I mean, that could be a fall planter as a cover crop, but then you have to do something to get that cover crop down and off you, and I rototill it. And there are people in our neighborhoods that in our lawn and garden community that they don't think that rototilling is quite the thing. But
well, the thing is, I think rototilling's fine, but you don't want to do it over and over again during the summer. You turn your soil into powdery messes.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I used to rototill right at, 7 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the year, because I didn't like my weeds. Well, I have a better plan this year, and I want to get a sweep on the back of my rototiller so it only goes down an inch or 2 inches and cuts those weeds off.
Mm.
I like machinery, and I dislike weeding by hand because usually I have to sit on a 5-gallon bucket to do that weeding. And, well, I don't know.
Gets a little hard.
It gets harder all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and I might have to give up my pond because that's getting harder to do all the time as well.
Are the fish still in there?
Oh, yeah. They're happy little fish.
I don't know. They're koi?
Oh, well, some are koi, and most of them are just, you know, plain old goldfish. But the thing about goldfish, you can't turn those, or koi, you should not turn those into your local ponds or streams.
Correct. They're not native.
They're not native. And so...
They're Japanese fish.
Yeah, but still, they're not native. So at any rate...
Do they ever freeze?
No.
Oh, how deep is your pond?
Only, it's a little kidney pond, a little kidney-shaped pond. And, uh-huh. and I would say...
3 feet.
2 to 3 feet at the most.
Jerry, I have checked it.
Have you checked out?
3 feet.
Okay.
No, I don't know. I'm kidding.
All right. So, guys, thank you so much. With me today was Tom McCurry and Amy Smith. Thank you both for being here today. And y'all have a good day and Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Jerry. You as well.